So we want to feel the real impact and force and power of our gospel reading this morning. You kind of need to back up a few verses and start just a tiny bit earlier than the appointed segment of Luke 9 that we were called upon to read this morning. So I want to back up into Luke chapter 9 and just read verses 46 to 50, which is then immediately followed by our gospel reading this morning. So just a few verses before the section we read, we're told an argument arose among Jesus' disciples as to which of them was the greatest. But Jesus, aware of their inner thoughts, took a little child and put it by his side and said to them, "Whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me, for the least among all of you is the greatest." And John answered, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name. We tried to stop him because he does not follow with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him, for whoever is not against you is for you." And then when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up to Jerusalem, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent a messenger ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. I don't know what kind of answers you'd get, but you'd probably get a huge variety of answers if you asked the question of any group of people, what is it primarily that Jesus came to do for the 30 plus years that he spent on earth? What was his mission? What was his task? And you'd get all kinds of answers, and lots of them would be good and right and true. The answer you might not get is the one that I think we find in Luke chapter 9 in our reading and just before. One of the missions or the job descriptions that you don't often hear Jesus given comes, it seems to me, very clearly through John chapter 9, starting really at verse 46 and going through to 62. Jesus came to put an end to tribal religion. Jesus came to put an end to tribal religion. Tribal religion is all about who's the greatest, who's the most important in the hierarchy of leadership. Tribal religion is all about who's in and who's out, who belongs and who doesn't belong, who's got it right and who's got it wrong. Tribal religion is a fundamentally belonging system. It looks at the world and divides it up into categories of people who belong here, they belong there, we belong over here, and we are separated by our differences. It starts with John seeing people casting out demons, apparently, in Jesus' name. And John, loyal and faithful, says to Jesus, "Well, we went and tried to stop them. Because, you know, we don't know who they are. We don't know what they're doing. We don't know whose name they're casting out demons in." And I'm sure John thought, Jesus is going to say, "Well done, good for you. You stood up for the truth. You protected the righteousness of my message. Because you tried to stop those people who are not with us, who are outsiders. You tried to stop them from looking like or pretending that they're one of us." But Jesus said to John, "Do not stop him. For whoever is not against us is for us." And then later that follows immediately into this troubling scene with the Samaritans. Now, you've probably been around long enough to know that Jews and Samaritans in Jesus' day did not get along. Okay? They were separated by a great divide. The Jews believed that the Samaritans had become unfaithful to the sanctioned procedures and practices of the religious system as they had inherited it, they believed, directly from God. The Jews believed that the Samaritans were outside of, that they had separated themselves from, cut themselves off from God's chosen people. And so Jews would have nothing to do with Samaritans. And surprise, surprise, Samaritans returned the favor and would have nothing to do with Jews. So the fact that Jesus is coming by and wants to stop in a Samaritan territory and they know he's heading towards Jerusalem immediately excludes Jesus. And they send him on his way saying, you have, essentially, you have no part with us. James and our favorite John, who you remember, is the one who got all the right answers and defends Jesus' integrity. James and John see that the Samaritans have not received Jesus and say, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Isn't that a great program? Don't you love that? All those people who disagree with you, fried. I love that. I want to sign up for that religion. I want to sign up for the religion where my enemies, those who disagree with me on anything, know that they're wrong, that they're bad, that they are outside of God's grace and God's favor. And so surely Jesus is going to say to James and God, wow, I'm so impressed with your zeal. I just love your righteousness. I just am so moved and touched by your fervor. Way to go. Right? That's the Jesus that I see in lots of contemporary religion. But I don't see it in the Gospels. Jesus turns to James and John, and Luke says, he rebuked them. He rebuked them. He's supposed to be rebuking Samaritans. What's wrong with him? He's got it all mixed up. Jesus rebukes those who would shut out and close off God's love and God's kingdom from everyone, from anyone. Jesus came to bring an end to tribal religion, religion that excludes, religion that says we have all the answers and you are wrong because you don't agree with us. Jesus came to bring an end to any kind of religion that is, and you know, this may offend you and you may be upset, but that's okay, I'm going on holiday soon, so. Jesus came to bring an end to any religion that is a belonging system. You don't belong here. I'm happy if you feel comfortable here. I hope you feel welcome here. This isn't where you belong. This is Canada Day weekend. You don't belong to Canada. You don't belong to this nation. If you read on in this gospel reading, you'll find out that in Jesus' eyes, you don't even belong to your family. Let me go and bury my dead. Let me look after my family obligations. And Jesus says, forget that. You're coming with me. We human beings need to understand that the reason we have tribal religion is because our vision is too small. Jesus had a bigger vision. Jesus had a vision in which we come to understand that we belong only to love, to truth, to beauty, to goodness. That is where we belong. We don't belong to one another. We don't belong to our biological family. We don't belong to any church. We don't belong to the Anglican Church of Canada. We don't belong to this nation. We belong to God. We belong to love, to truth, to beauty, to goodness, to wisdom, and to light. Jesus said, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." The Son of Man does not belong anywhere in this time-bound, material, physical realm. We belong only, he says, to the person and love and light and goodness and truth that is embodied in his person. And that's why Jesus ends up this strange teaching with a really hard saying. Another said to Jesus, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Sounds so reasonable. Sounds so sensible. This is where I belong. Let me go and honor the place of my belonging. Jesus says to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The plow breaks up the earth. We build belonging systems. We build belonging places because we want to have a feeling of security and safety and protection. And the Spirit of God breaks all that up. The Spirit of God drives a plow into the earth. And if our determination is to walk with God, then we need to take a hold of that plow and never turn back. That's why Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. Jesus set his face towards that place which for him meant only pain and rejection and suffering and death. He put his hand to that plow and he walked the hard road to Calvary. He allowed his heart to be plowed with the pain of life. He allowed his heart to be plowed with the pain of belonging nowhere and being at home nowhere. We are not at home here. This is not our home. Our home is in the heart. Our home is in that place where deep within, having allowed the plow of God's Spirit to break open the earth and the crust of our heart, that we find that we belong only in that place of deep wisdom and beauty and truth and power that is our true nature. See, the problem with belonging systems, is that they always, always do one thing, guaranteed. What do belonging systems always do? Eh? They exclude and they let you down. That's what they do. Because you think you found this nice place of belonging. And then some person says some stupid thing. And you think, "Ugh, this isn't comfortable. I don't like it here." And you know what? That even happens in biological families. Yeah, it's true, Yvette. I know it's never happened in yours, but it does happen. Isn't that shocking? And then what do? So suddenly this place that has been this place of warm, loving, cuddly belonging becomes a place that makes your blood feel like it's kind of got milk with vinegar poured inside. What do? All of a sudden, you don't belong anymore. You don't fit. And you start looking at yourself and thinking, "There's no place for me. I'm alone in this world. And I feel terrible. Because this belonging system that I relied on to make me feel good about myself, this belonging system has let me down again." So I go desperately looking for another one. I think, "Well, I'll find my place here." And Jesus says, "Birds of the air have nests and foxes have holes, but you guys, you got nowhere, nowhere to lay your head except in your heart." You lay your head in the bosom of Jesus. You lay your head in that place of love and goodness and truth and beauty that is your true nature. And then you know that whatever the belonging systems of the world may do, you're still at home. You're at home wherever you are. I was talking about this at the 8 o'clock service, and a lovely older woman, she wouldn't object to me calling her that, I don't think, who has got a very strong German accent. She came at the end of the service, she had tears, she was tearing up. She said, you know, I go back there and I come back here and I never know where I belong. But she said, I do, and she said, I'm not making this up. She said, I do carry in my heart the hope, and I wish she hadn't had to make it a hope, but she said, I do carry in my heart the hope that I belong to God. And I said, you can be confident. You can be absolutely certain that that is where you belong. That is home. And imagine carrying that with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, carrying that awareness that there is a love and a goodness and a truth and a beauty that makes you belong where you are. And when you do that, when you do that, then you don't need to define yourself any longer by who you know is wrong. You don't need to define yourself any longer by who you exclude. You can welcome anyone because you know you're at home in yourself with God and with the power of love and light and truth and beauty and goodness. So please feel good here. Feel comfortable here. But just don't put too much store in it, you know? Don't put too much value in it. You come here to be reminded that this is ultimately not your home. That home is not a nation. Home is not a biological family. Home is not a church. It's not a job. It's not a school. It's not a degree. Home is a relationship with the eternal power of light and love manifest in the person of Jesus, and living in our lives by God's Spirit. Amen.